Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Welcome to another episode of the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. Can we talk? You know the routine. You guys, go ahead, share this video right now. I mean, how do I always say video? Y'all know that because I do so many shows. Y'all know I have the live stuff. I get confused. But go ahead, share this podcast right now. If you're on Apple, make sure you rate us. Give us a five. I like five. That number sounds amazing. Comment. And if you comment, I always say, I will shout you out on the show. Thank you guys for your support. You guys are amazing. I appreciate each and every one of you. Make sure that you are staying safe, staying in the house right now. Continue to shelter in place. I don't care how many states say they're opening. It's not time yet. The numbers are too high, and your health is more important than shopping at the store for a pair of Jordans, I promise you. So, on today's show, I have an amazing guest with me, and y'all know I'm always researching, and I'm out there snooping and stuff, and I came across Vision Los Angeles, which started in the end of last year, and I came across the pastor, and I was like, let's go look at him. Let's find out who this person is. So my guest today is Pastor. Y'all know I'm honored when I say the pastor. Sammy Haynes of Vision Church of Los Angeles. Say hello to the people, Pastor.
Hello, hello. What's up, everybody? It's really exciting to be here, and thank you so much for this opportunity to share. Like, I'm excited.
Yes. So now I won't call him pastor no more unless he wants me to call it, because you know some people they just want to be themselves and they want to be beyond the title. Do I need to call? Do you want? How do you want me to?
No, we can. Yeah, we can definitely. Let's talk. Let's literally talk. I'm all about being honest and transparent and truthful. So yeah, let's talk. You don't have to call me pastor.
Okay.
Sammy is good.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. So for those of you that are at home, Sammy is the pastor of Vision Los Angeles, which is connected and up under Vision Atlanta, which is one of the most amazing men. And you guys hear me talk about him. I listen to him on Sunday mornings when I'm laying in the bed before I go to Napa. So y'all know Bishop Oliver Clyde Allen. He's the founder. Yeah. The founder of the United Progressive Pentecostal Fellowship of Churches. So he is the bishop, and Vision Los Angeles is up under him. So tell us a little bit how that happened.
That happened basically, it kind of really happened organically. So I am also the chief operation officer for United Progressive Pentecostal Church Fellowship, working literally directly with Bishop Allen, and the vision that he has for these many ministries that are connected to us. And so I've been in that position probably now going into my seventh year. And we have periodically kind of talked about how do we not only expand the UPPC brand idea, but what do we do to expand Vision, that Vision Atlanta brand that has really grown in a way that most people would not have expected, just how large and how recognizable Vision Atlanta is across the U.S. and not just on the East Coast, but the West Coast. People know who Vision Atlanta is, and what we have created there as a safe space, a bold space for all people to come in and worship in a no-judgment zone, in my opinion, is amazing. And the fact that it is one of the first churches that is open for all people, that is pastored by a saint and a loving bishop and his husband, that is Black, that is unheard of. And so I thought it was very important, and he did as well. Why don't we create these opportunities in other places for the people to come and experience a Vision church in your area, i.e. where we have them now in Nashville and Raleigh, and of course, Los Angeles, and it will continue to spread. But we at the core, we want to continue to create spaces where people from every walk of life can come into a space literally where there's no judgment, that you have an encounter experience with God unlike any other in the city that is near you. So that's how we started this Vision brand.
Ah, so you're not originally from Los Angeles.
I am not. I'm a transplant. This is all new for me. And oh my God, it's a whole new world. I am a country boy. You can hear it in my tone and my life. You know, this is a whole new game. This is East Coast and West Coast are two different beasts in how people see church and see the whole Christendom world is very different. But, you know, I love it here. I've always loved it here when I used to travel here all the time. I love it here. I think it's really a beautiful place, beautiful people. So I enjoy it. So I'm excited to be here and so look forward to what God is getting ready to do.
And you hit it on the nail. We are a different beast here when it comes to church.
Yeah.
So I lived in New York for 5 years, did theater, Broadway, and stuff like that. And church there, compared to church here, I was like, whoo. And we were, I guess, you know, coming from here, we were well into Come As You Are to church. And going to New York, it was high fashion on Sunday morning. So here I walk in jeans and a t-shirt, and they looking at me like, But I never changed up because this California, we come to church, it's never been that. And we're already doing good to get people to come to church on Sunday because there's so many things to do in California on Sunday that limit people from coming to church. And y'all know right now, if y'all know me, I'm in Napa on Sundays. Y'all know my church is Napa Valley. Y'all know where y'all can find me with the wine. So I know that has been a great experience to you coming here. Did you know that it was a different type of church here than it was from back home?
I did. I realized that people engage God differently here when I would visit West Coast. But I also saw that there were some traditional movements here as well. And there are some traditional people that live in Los Angeles. So it's like night and day here when it comes to church. But what I was so focused on in bringing Vision Los Angeles here is to be something above the norm and not necessarily give you what you're used to and you understand, but to use the creative energy and the creative intensity that is already here to use it to represent God in a way that people will want to know him in a greater way and want to have an experience with him. And I'm not trying to hold you in church 2 and 3 hours and all of that. I'm not really trying to even recreate something I know and understand. What I am trying to create is just a bold space that is marching to the beat of a different drummer so that you can realize not the Jesus that is outside of you, but really realize the Jesus and the internal instinct that naturally lives on the inside of you.
That's good. I like that.
That's
really good. So crazy. Look, you got me. It was enough for me to say, I got to drive to Los Angeles. I have to go. I don't know when I started following you, and because I started following you before the church opened up. So I was going as you were advertising through, and I was like, So I told my best friend who lives in Los Angeles, I'm coming to Los Angeles. He was like, what? So I'm coming. You coming all the way for church? And I said, well, we know for years I was a tour bus driver. So I was before driving there, just hanging out, I was there every weekend on a tour run. So I went to a church regularly on Sundays when I was a church boy, when I was in I was in church every Sunday down there. My Bishop Johnny Withers, yes, pastor.
Yeah.
I'm a fallen flock member right now, but it's something. The church is just totally different here, and
yeah, it is.
I wanted something more, and for us in the Bay Area, so here we have, for same gender, we have Bishop Yvette Flunder, and her wife. So you know, that's here. And I grew up in Love Center. So I'm from Bishop Walter Hawkins. I grew up in a same gender loving church, and you know, that's my life. I know that I'm a baby raised in Love Center.
Right.
So when Bishop passed, it started to change the face of churches for us, because everybody started to going back, and the people that have tried the Pastor Love Center now have tried to diminish what he created all of those years, that this church is open to everybody. It's not just straight folks. It's open to everybody and anybody. Yeah. And most people didn't even understand that at some points we had more straight people in Love Center than we had same gender loving.
Right.
So
right
couldn't really call us just this, you couldn't say gay church because we wasn't a gay church. I wanted something more like that, and there was a couple that started a church here and it didn't last, and so I was like, I was gonna try them out, but it didn't last, and I never understood why it didn't last. I just want to be in a church where you're comfortable with everybody being there, because when we get to heaven, everybody's going to be there.
Absolutely.
It's not going to
absolutely
be a person.
It's not going to be, you know, a person from this walk of life and that walk of life, this race, and just like all of this stuff will be diminished. And that's, you know, literally when we look at our Vision Los Angeles mission and the mission of Vision Atlanta, is that it is a church for all people. It is a place not just for gay people or straight people, or, you know, it's however you want to identify, but it's really for all people to come into this space and be comfortable. And it's not just for Black people. We are a multicultural expression. Like, we are seriously about reaching across our Blackness to brown people, all people, you know, and we don't want to be limited to. I think that sometimes how people want to pigeonhole you because you have said you're same gender loving, or within, since you're the same gender loving person, it has to be a gay church. No, you know, at the end of the day, I will always say this, our church is rooted and grounded basically at this core, just to be a love center for all people to know that you're welcome here, and that we love you in spite of how people say you perform, in spite of what people think about you. We love you because you exist. And we want to, again, as always, creatively do something, be something that we can push you into your vision. If you're going to go to church, if you're going to go into a place where people are assembled to worship and praise God, we must push you into your vision, into your dream. If we're not doing that, then what are we making you? We're making you, and we literally are training you to be a copy. But if God made you an original, you die copy.
Right. So tell people how, because you did something different than most traditional churches. You started out with advertising on social media, and you started a social media, advertisement in the process. And most churches don't do that. People just say, oh, I'm starting a church here, I'm open this Sunday, boom. And then they go out and start reaching out. You did the opposite. You did a whole social media marketing thing. So where was the vision from that? Is that something you created?
I think it's something I created, but I think it came from my background. I worked in entertainment and PR. I was an editor-in-chief of a publication called She Magazine. My background in terms of studying is marketing and mass communication. So I really understand the value of marketing and mass communication and how you can use it in order to reach a larger audience. And second of all, that this ministry is not just for my present generation. Like, I'm reaching to the next generation, because what I do today goes into the future. And so I wanted to make sure that we were actually involved in as many ways as possible to engage a new audience of people. Like, I'm not always trying to reach those who know church, understand church, already have shaped in their mind what's right, what's wrong. Literally, I'm going after those who feel rejected, those who feel marginalized, those who feel nobody loved them, those who feel like I have no place when it comes to ministry. Like, I'm going after those people who were told you can't win, you can't do this, and you can't do that. No, I want to be your voice to tell you you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. As I told someone, I see not only to be your pastor, but I seem to be seek to be your coach, your life coach, your person that is pushing you beyond every voice that told you what you cannot do. So if I have to do that through Instagram, I do it through Instagram. I do it through Facebook. I do it through my YouTube channel, because I understand it may be four or five people that watch the videos, but the God we serve, he gives us more on our way than when we start. The point is, we have to start it. We have to put it out there in order to create content for people to find you. And so I wanted to put as much content out there, so at some point when a person is down, or when they're just trying to figure it out or don't know what to do, they may stumble upon what we're doing at Vision Los Angeles in order to find hope in their life.
I see. I love that. I love that. And you are the creator of so many things. As I was reading, your bio, and I love this. This line just blessed me really good. Oh, it said, Haynes has built a reputation as a gifted administrator, visionary, and creative artist with the unique ability to revolutionize any project assigned. And you're doing that. You're definitely doing that. That stood out for me. And then I noticed that I saw that you worked for Sheen Magazine, and I know that you're an entrepreneur. We know that you're a coach, a brand developer, a motivational speaker. We have that. And you are the creator of the Perfect Gentleman Academy.
Yeah.
So tell us, what is the Perfect Gentleman Academy? What's that about?
Well, it's funny you ask me that question. I am literally in the editor's process of a book that I'm releasing called The Art of a Real G, 50 Keys to Becoming a Perfect Gentleman. And it really started probably about, I would say over 17 years ago, when I started out teaching. And what I noticed as a Black male teacher, that most of the Black young men would be drawn to you, because in the classroom and education, you don't have many Black male representatives literally at all. So when they see a Black male in the classroom, or see a Black male in the education system from a young male perspective, they're drawn to you, because a lot of times the father is not in place and not at home. So they end up being attracted to you and looking up to you. And one of the things that I noticed as I began to interact with young men, that a lot of them missed a lot of the social aspects of life, training and development, the keys to entering the stage from boy to manhood. They were missing a lot of that. And so I thought it was necessary to create a platform where we take a weekend or a day that I literally myself, and maybe sometime I would bring in other guests, where we train and develop young men in the keys to life, and some of the key elements you need to know in order to win in this game, what I call, in this game called life. And so it talks about fashion, it talks about life skill, it teaches you etiquette, it teaches you about relationship and socialism. So it's a full training academy for young men to be this, what we call, Renaissance man.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
it is needed in the community, very much so, because as you say, a lot of children are without the fathers being there. So having someone to give them just a role model to look up to, and giving them some tokens and some nuggets to learn along the way is an amazing thing.
Yeah, because they need it so very, very bad, more than I can probably express. Because even when I started out teaching middle school, but then I ended up working in higher ed at Fort Valley State University, and a person reminded me yesterday that, you know, you made history at Fort Valley. You created Mr. Fort Valley. We never had a Mr. Fort Valley State University until you came and created a platform to have a king of the university. But I created that platform because even on a university level, when young men was in college getting their higher ed degree, many of them still didn't understand, you know, what should you wear to an interview? Many of them never owned a suit. Many of them never knew, you know, in business, some of the basic things you need to know in order to handle business with a level of integrity. They didn't know that, you know, and that Perfect Gentleman Academy, bringing it up from middle school and even putting it in place in a higher ed situation, was even greater of an impact, because these young men were not only graduating with a degree in their specific area of focus, but they were also graduating with a level of life skill, a level of style, a level of excellence that naturally wasn't taught to them as a young man growing up. But it is all they need really to be able to have great success in their life as a family man and as they build into their future.
And you bring all that to the table with Vision LA. And so yeah. that's right there alone, that is something that people should say, I want to go see this church. I want to see this pastor. I want to see this right there is enough to say, I need to visit this church and experience this service for myself. Because when you have programs in your churches, that's what keeps people coming. If you have a church where people just come there on a Sunday and then they don't see you again till next Sunday, there's no communication, there's nothing going on, that type of ministry won't thrive. You need to have a thriving ministry of programs. And this, we do this, we outreach here, we do this to the community. Yeah. And we don't just stay away from controversial topics. We're there too. We're in the midst of everything.
And yeah, we are.
That is a good thing.
Yeah, we really try to, not try, we aim with everything in our being, to be all of the 8 parameters of our church. And one of the 8 parameters, you'll hear me say this a lot in ministry when I'm talking or sharing with those who are partners of Vision LA, because we don't have members, we have partners. So we don't do membership, we do partnership.
Oh, well, I'm a partner. I like that. I'm a partner. Yeah.
And as a result, one of the 8 parameters I talk about like a whole lot, no one would do life alone. If you're a partner of this ministry, it is our aim that no one would do life alone. And so we have a built-in infrastructure that we are, even at the beginning of our ministry, we have an infrastructure that is centered around congregational care, that is centered around being there for other people. We want to create your community. We want to create your family. We want to be there for your highs and your lows, for you to really understand and know you don't have to do life alone. And that you can achieve everything that everybody told you that you cannot do. Take the limits off of your possibilities and open your windows to change. And so you're right. We currently, right now, I was on the phone literally all day from one conference call, one Zoom call to the next call, meeting with our leaders, talking about programs, talking about opportunities of engagement. How can we stretch our brand, but not only stretch our brand, how can we impact people in a way that we are changing the way they impact the world and the globe? So you're right. We literally try to work from a sphere of creativity in all we do.
That is amazing. That is amazing. So how has the process been since opening the church? Tell us a little bit about that since getting open.
The process since starting has been very interesting. You know, we are literally now January, February, March, April, May. We're only like 5 months old. And literally, I started this ministry. I came to LA with not one person committed to be a partner or anything with this ministry. I was coming knowing that God called me to be here and just believing God was going to add people. And from our first orientation that we had, you know, we had a really great partner to come out of that situation. And from the first service we had, we have another great partner that came out of that situation. So literally, it has been growth from the day that we started. You know, I started with 0, and today we're over, you know, we're young, but we're over 15 partners of Vision LA. And in the midst of this whole COVID-19, where we had to readjust, which was crazy. Our first year starting, COVID-19 came in and we couldn't have church the traditional way, but we had to move to innovation and move to technology and digital contact with people. But in spite of that, we've seen growth, we've seen expansion, and we have been literally evidence of what I've been telling people all the time, that in the middle of a crisis, God can still give you a harvest. And we've seen it happen for us in so many ways. where, you know, we've been buying equipment for our studio that we're working on. We're currently right now in the process of securing our building. So by the time we come out of the COVID-19, we will have our permanent praise of worship and development and training for our first phase, because it will not be our final phase, but it'll be our first stop as our space. We're almost about to wrap on that. So literally, you know, the beginning, you know, I think we all face the challenges at the beginning, but what I've understand, if you be consistent, stay true to your dream, stay true to the vision where he's giving you, yes, he literally gives you more on your way than when you start. So we have more today than when we started that first day in Inglewood, and we continue to grow literally every week.
Inglewood, you in Inglewood, yes.
Inglewood.
Yes.
Yes, yes. That is where our space will be. That's our first starting spot. Yeah, Inglewood. I love Inglewood. It's been really, thus far, it's been really good to me. We made some amazing relationships, and we look forward to doing so much more, like literally so much more there.
So let's talk about the man now. Let's talk about the man. How was this moving? Did this moving experience? So, did you come single? Are you by yourself? Yep. Did you leave somebody behind and said,
"I didn't leave anybody.
I have to do the work of the Lord. I have to do the work of the Lord."
Glory to God. So no, I came single. I came with myself. I came here with a dream and a vision. I tell this story all the time. I came here with like $45 and two nights in the Airbnb when I got on the plane from Atlanta, Georgia to come to LA. And when I stepped off the airplane, somebody cashed out me $100, which bought me another two nights. And I've been here ever since. And so I came with literally a dream, a vision, no job. I had no contracts at the time. You know, my contracts had ended. And I literally just trusted him day by day, moment by moment, and just figuring it out. And literally, I saw God shift the whole atmosphere for me. Some opportunities and contracts come through, and people have literally joined forces with Vision LA since we've been here to financially support us. That where I started with that $45, and I believe sometime that $45 was my willingness to get on the plane with $45 and not knowing what else will be next. Will I do it? But because I did it, today we are literally going into our overflow. So, you know, it started very simple, very easy, but it's just me, myself, and I right now.
Wow. So you came and went into an Airbnb. Wow.
Yeah.
Woo. That's a lot right there. I don't know if I could do that. No. I move, I need to know that I already got the keys to a place.
Right.
I need to know I got some keys. Because that's the transition.
I know. Most people are very used to that, but I always have been a leaper. I remember when I left Fayetteville and went back to Georgia, didn't have too much going on, but accepted the Bible school, so I went to Bible school. And from there, it expanded out into me working at Fort Valley. But then I left Fort Valley and leaped into New York to pursue my dream in fashion and working in entertainment, not knowing no celebrities. But then from New York, I went to Atlanta, built my career there. Literally not having a place there, I slept on a friend's front sofa for 30 or 60 days and then moved into an apartment. But, you know, I built something really great and awesome. But then when it was time to leap again, I questioned God a couple times about this leap, because this was a very huge leap for me to leave Georgia and leap all the way into Los Angeles, because I have no family here. I have a couple of friends here, but not a lot of friends. And I don't know, I work with a lot of people here, but when I talk about friends and relationships, I don't have a lot of that here. All I had with me literally is, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." But I know he called me to be here. And because he's called me to be here, I have literally seen God begin to shape and create my own community here in Los Angeles.
Wow. And so, yeah, man, now that has to be a challenge in the midst of COVID-19. Now that's a real challenge to not really have a strong database of friends and be somewhere where now we're just shut down.
Shut down, literally. nothing is available to you. But it's been really cool, though, in this shutdown, because in a short amount of time, like, God sent my executive pastor. His name is Adel Peters. And this guy has been so remarkable. And we're very close. He's like my brother. Since I've been here, since he's become a part of that ministry, it's nothing I need that he won't make sure is taken care of. And then I have about five other leaders who stand guard and support me and the work that we are doing together as a unit, because I cannot do this work alone. I need the hands of other people in order to accomplish the mission. But because of their faithfulness and their trust and their belief in this vision and standing with me and around me, literally, I've been okay during this COVID-19. I literally have been putting myself in a position that I can serve as an inspiration to other people who are struggling and going through and praying for people on a daily basis on my Facebook, because I want to help people get through this COVID-19 and not succumb to the pressure, succumb to the anxiety, succumb to the depression. But I want to offer you hope. You know, I'm here to offer you hope. And that hope is not through me, but that hope is through Jesus. And so that's what I hope to stand for, live for, and that's what our whole vision LA is, as a place of hope, a place of possibility, a place where you know without a doubt I can.
And you can, and you will. So I know it. I believe it to be true. I know it's going to come to pass.
Yeah.
You also created the Love Freedom Movement in Atlanta, Georgia. So tell people about that. And are you bringing the Love Freedom Movement to life? No, I ain't saying no, because I know you're bringing it to. I have to hang you by a if you didn't.
Oh, yeah. Love Freedom is coming. Yes, Love Freedom is coming with me. Love Freedom was my first project that I created after leaving She Magazine as the editor-in-chief in July of 2018. I went right into my nonprofit called Love Freedom Movement, which is it's a platform for creative artists from any genre, from music to fashion to beauty to acting, from any creative gene, to come into a space to be empowered to take a real leap into your vision and your dream. One of the things that I learned in my process of working in entertainment and PR, there were not a lot of people there to guide you, to give you the right information and some of the pitfalls to avoid and the things to pay attention to. And so this program gives you the tools that are necessary in order for you to walk into your vision, to walk into your dream. I'm very heavy into pushing people into their vision and into their dream and not allowing them to just succumb to the status quo. You are here for more than just working, buying clothes, buying shoes, buying food, eating and being depressed. No, you have an assignment on your life. How can I push you to that assignment? How can I push you to that vision that you saw as a child? How can I push you to your dream? And so Love Freedom is about that. It's about embracing people with love and giving them the power to understand you have the freedom to be anything you can imagine. Your imagination is the greatest asset you can ever have. Never lose it, but use it until the day you make your transition from this earth. And so with Love Freedom, we're not only limited to Atlanta, as you may have seen, you know, we've done Love Freedom in South Carolina, we've done Love Freedom in North Carolina, in Charlotte, we did Love Freedom for 2 years at Essence Festival, which was a focus on women and pushing women to like dream beyond their means, in film and beauty, in so many other facets. And so yes, Love Freedom will be here in Los Angeles. And it will continue to travel really around the U.S. in different places to present these platforms to empower people to know and learn about the power within and the ability to achieve your dream.
Well, that means it's coming in Northern California then. It's coming right on up here to the San Francisco area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's what that Love Freedom is about. Love Freedom is really like our evangelism portion of our ministry and our nonprofit arm. And it is to be used in a very creative way in order to stimulate your consciousness in an area that you never thought about. You know, we offer real basic classes like how to write a book or what is a brand, how to start a brand, how to build a website, how to sit down and talk to a person who's been successful in acting and learn the tools and the information and the words that you need to know in order to pivot yourself through the entire world of acting. You know, we just give such a huge amount of information inside of those Love Freedom conferences, summits, seminars, that they are really, really amazing. Really amazing.
So Sammy Haynes is just a brand himself. He is a whole brand himself. That's an amazing.
I do a lot. Because, you know, I do a lot because at the end of the day, I'm a dreamer. I'm a visionary. I've been that way since I was a kid. Very creative. And I've always wanted to do something. When I leave this earth, I want to make sure that I leave it empty. Like everything that I feel in me, everything that I visualize or I see, like I want to get it out. And I want to help people get it out of them as well so that we leave empty, we leave happy, we leave before we close our eyes, we won't have nobody around our bed talking about, if you would have did this, you could have did that. No, like we go get it in spite of controversy, in spite of opposition. Our motto is we would rather die empty rather than to die full.
All right. So now, see, there's so many facets to you. There's SammyHaynes.com.
Oh, yeah.
So many facets. I tell you what I was like, wow.
SammyHaynes.com.
How you forget about? That's one of your flagship. So tell people about your webpage. Tell them what they're going to find there.
So when you go to my webpage, and I would tell everybody, I have a blog on my webpage. I've really been busy building the pastorate in probably a month. But my webpage is called SammyHaynes.com, and it's all about on everything I love. So I blog about anything that I love. If it's a movie, if it's something fashionable that I saw, if it's a positive thought that I have that I want to write, for spiritual significance, I write about that on that page. So it combines fashion, life, spirituality, on everything I love, all into one platform, one space. And I talk a lot about just everything I love. If I love it, you'll see it on that page.
So fashion plays a big role in your life, I see.
Yes, I have always loved fashion since a child. Of course, I worked in beauty. I worked in fashion. I've been a stylist for a little while, but I didn't style as long because I didn't like that path.
There's a story.
Well, you know, I love fashion, but I think for me, there's a huge amount of risk involved when you talk about fashion styling. And you know, if something happens to a garment or something doesn't go right and that thing is ripped or torn, you're responsible for it. And if it was $5,000 and you messed it up, then you got to come up with $5,000. And also, it's a lot of work around it in terms of like shopping and with clients. And I understood early that the type of visionary I am, although I can do styling and I can see, you know, where I want to take a client, I just saw a bigger picture in my head. I heard a greater voice in terms of where I felt my spirit calling me to, is why I did not get into styling, but I ended up as working with Sheen. You know, that skill set came into play because in magazine, we do pictures, we do various shoots, campaigns, concepts. So, you know, when you're on set, you're able to add value to the area to make sure that the picture comes out and look a certain way. You're able to work with all of the art directors and the stylists, the beauty team. Like, you're able to bring that knowledge in order to marry those together. So I've always seen myself more so in bringing the talents together and sharing the vision, and then they take it and bring it to fruition.
Okay. I understand, and I would be scared to go get a dress from somebody for $5,000 and they spill something on and then I'm responsible for $5,000. We'd have a problem.
He's like, oh, right.
I'd be like, I'm going to need your coins right now, your credit card, right, to pay for this mess, because this is all you. I'm innocent. So
right. Right. It's so many layers to it, but my hat off to all of the amazing guys that I work with and girls who are stylists and fashion influencers who've done the work in order to live the life. I love it. I just know that was not my full path, but I needed to be exposed to it in order to like build what we built while I did some of the things at Shein and some of the other fashionable projects I've done before.
Mm-hmm. So now you guys, you've heard a lot about the man. Now I want him to surprise you. I want y'all to be just floor stop. And he may be mad at me if I ask this question, but I know it shouldn't be no shame in this. Tell the people how old you are.
Oh, God. I'm an old man. I am 46 years old.
He said he old, y'all.
I'm old.
Y'all, don't. He's still a youngster to me. He's still a youngster to me. He's still a youngster to me. So.
Oh, that makes me feel good. Because, man, I tell you, I feel like I'm old. So I'm thankful to be here.
I tell him that I've been driving the school bus for 32 years. So that right there.
So that tells the story right there.
That tells the story right there. So you guys think that you're at home and you're not doing anything. There's people out there that's doing stuff, and he is definitely an inspiration, and that's why I like to bring on folks who can inspire somebody to get out and do something. Yeah. Do something. Yeah. So what's your take on Atlanta right now? Because, you know, you were living in Georgia. Georgia didn't open back up, and for some ungodly reason, they decided that they wanted to take these wonderful $1,200 stimulus checks and run to the mall to go buy some Jordans. What's happening in your area?
You know, I thought it was really, honestly, I was really saddened by it. As a matter of fact, I ended up preaching for Vision Atlanta on the weekend of that Sunday that they lifted, were entered into their phase one. There in Georgia. And it has literally been a very sad experience, because most of the people who are literally being hurt and being really engaged by this virus is people of color. And it's sad to say that sometimes we don't understand the significance of the moment, the significance of where we live, and value even the fact of our life enough that we would stay home in order to save the lives of other people. Because you getting out there, exposing yourself to many times, we don't even know where it is coming from. You're taking that back home to your family and to your loved ones. And so I literally support Mayor Keisha Bottoms. I understand where she's coming from. And I do understand that her hands are tied. There's not too much she can do. But I really wish that we will use wisdom, strategy during this time, and not be such in a rush, like buying clothes and shoes for what? To go where? Your life is more important more than a shoe or a clothing. But sometimes we take materialistic things to be greater, or just to have the freedom to get out as a greater thing than being home. And you know, as I said that Sunday, it is really better to be safe at home, not stuck at home, but safe at home than to be outside and dead. You know, so I my heart is going out to the Atlanta community. I know many people are pleading with people not to go out and together. And a lot of people are saying, you know what, I gotta get out of this house and I gotta do something. But I get it, but I really hope that as we move forward, that there'll be a greater consciousness in Atlanta, in Georgia alone, about your life and the life of others, and that we'll understand the value of staying home. Until we can flatten this curve a lot more and make it safe for all to come out, I think we just really need to exhibit again a level of strategy and a level of wisdom.
A level of wisdom. Now, coming from vision, a great vision, you come from a, there is, we ever, anybody that know, if you don't know about Vision Atlanta, we all know that Bishop Oliver has a husband. He has a first G.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what a first G is, that is, instead of saying the first lady, it's the first G, it's the first gentleman.
Yeah. So,
and coming from Atlanta, which is the dating mecca of the world right now for African-American same gender loving men, and now you've transitioned to the dead zone of Los Angeles where there's a horrible dating pool.
I've heard that a lot. Oh my God.
You've come to a dead zone. And I'm so sorry. I apologize. Dating is dead there. And I know that your focus right now is, you know, Vision Los Angeles. But what are your dating? Because as you say, you're an old man, but I say you're not old. What are your dating goals? Is there a first G for the future coming along somewhere?
There definitely could be in the future coming along somewhere. I'm not, I haven't marked that off as the list is like, no, it won't ever happen. I'm very open to it. I know that it has to happen organically. I'm not necessarily going out looking for it at this stage because I'm very focused on what we are building and I'm seeking to build through Vision LA. And I don't want to also get into like the murk of things. Like I don't want to have my name passed around either because I think integrity and my character is important for leading particularly the LGBTQIA community. I want people to be able to trust the words that come out of my mouth and believe in the intention of this ministry. And so I take that very seriously. But it's in the future. I hope, you know, it will happen organically and it will come at some point. I'm not rushing now because I'm really, really busy. So it will probably not be a good thing for anybody right now. But I think eventually it'll happen organically. Let's speak it organic. Organic connection, yeah.
And for those of you that are at home, y'all know I've been around a long time. Dating a pastor is very hard. So don't just think that all of a sudden you've just won the prize. You have to have a serious relationship with God. Yeah. You have to understand that there are going to be some things that come along the way that the pastor has to put before you, not meaning that he's putting other people before you, but there will be some situations. And so many people get caught up in the fad of dating the pastor and being with the pastor. And I was with the pastor for years. So I did. Ugh. And I'm
so
also,
you get it.
I get it. And I'm also a pastor's kid. I'm also,
me too.
My grandfather was a pastor. My uncles are pastors. My aunts are pastors. So I come from, it's a different ball game. And people really think dating and they just think it's something. And I'm just trying to tell people, it's a whole different ball game, baby. It's a whole different, you went to a conference and you saw somebody and you thought he was cute and then you wanted to date him. And you was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be able to sit on the front row. Child, screw that front row. I will take that back row any day where I can slide in. Nobody knows who I am and I can slide right back on. It's very hard dating, and like I say, for you to move to Los Angeles to a dead zone, because most men there, if they're not on the DL, if they're not confused about who they want to date, period, they date only white boys.
Wow.
So
I've heard that.
Yes, they run into nothing but dating white boys. And then you end up with the kids who can't get their lives together and they think that they found the sugar daddy. And so they think you're supposed to pay all their bills.
I've heard that too.
I'm not gonna kill you, but I want you to be prepared for Los Angeles, baby, because Los Angeles is a different piece of work. It is a, I love LA, y'all. I love LA. I love, I'm sitting here, I was telling my best friend another day, I was like, I gotta come to LA. I just gotta go to Eminem. I just gotta go to Eminem right now. I'm dying.
Yeah. And so, you know, LA is a different, LA is so different. It's very different than Atlanta. They are not the same people, I can tell you that. And, you know, because I in Atlanta, you know where we connect, you know where we gather, you know where we are, and you kind of look around and you see, like, to me, your people everywhere. Here in LA, it's a different type of thing. Like, I don't know specifically where the community gathers and where we all, like, connect. I think we're very spread it out and kind of, like, all over. And it's almost like somebody said, when you come out here, you really have to create your own community. Yeah. Because it's little to no community in terms of, like, everybody collectively coming together. So that's been interesting for me since I've been out here. That's been interesting and different from Atlanta.
Because everybody basically, I mean, there used to be, you know, because you went to the gay clubs, there were black gay clubs, but over time, they just keep closing. They just kept closing. And you ended up now where West Hollywood, and that's where, that was always where the white boys were. Their place. And now that's where, if you want to go out, you end up going out there, because if you're looking for a club, that's where you end up. Because it's just like the same here. But for the Bay Area, San Francisco was always white boy country.
Yeah.
Always. Yep. This has always been gay Mecca. It's always been here. And we had a few black clubs in the early days. A lot of people, we had them, they were known, but the people that owned them got older. They didn't have any kids or anything to pass it on to. So there was no business to say, okay, the business is going to stay with the family. And well, I'm just going to sell it. And they sold it. They sold the liquor licenses and it just went into this dead zone. And I don't know what the club scene is like in Atlanta, because me and clubs have been so far away from that scene for so long, because I'm telling you, find me a Napa on Sundays. Catch me a Napa.
Right.
That's where I'm at, with a nice little glass of wine in my hand, having great conversations and enjoying.
That's your life. Sunday.
That's my Sunday. And I have communion on Sunday. See? Every Sunday. Do this in remembrance. So I'm not having church. And I'm telling you, the funny part is, especially when I'm by myself on Sundays, if I don't have people, because I do the tour guys, but if I'm by myself on a Sunday up there, I'm usually somewhere. I'm watching Bishop Oliver. I turn on my little phone, and so I'm sitting there sipping, or I'm reading a good book, because I was already going to live churches before everybody and their mama decided, now that everybody's online. Right. I was already doing that. So, you know, and now I can hop to 4 or 5 churches on a Sunday, and then I get replays, which is wonderful. You get the replay. So you're like,
yeah. It's always the best thing about it, the replay. Yeah. Yeah, that's where you get your numbers at.
And that's where you get your, exactly. That, and see, that's why I tell people this all the time. I'm a veteran at this. I have a YouTube channel. I make money from YouTube. Yeah. I'm not a YouTube person. I said, this is a hobby. I get a check from YouTube. So
I'm
sitting there, I'm going to wait for so-and-so to come on in. No, start talking. So that when the replay comes, when the person picks up the replay, they automatically get you talking. And they're talking about, why are we sitting here for 5 minutes? Well, okay, what's going on? Who are we waiting on to come in? Who are we waiting on? It has taught a lot of pastors, and you do it well. Yeah. You do it well. You do it well. How to really use social media to reach people. And a key thing that one of the guests on my, I do a live Facebook show called The Perspective. And one of the pastors that we had on, she said what COVID-19 did was it leveled the field for pastors. Because everybody hated social media and they hated Facebook. Now you have to use this platform. So now you can find out, oh, well, this person over here that I never heard of is just as good as pastor as the one that I'm sitting up under. And you can watch different pastors and start to see them. And that's what makes you so personable, is because you take that time out to every morning with prayer. Yes, now I don't always make it in time for prayer because I'm trying to get my beauty sleep, you know, be a little early when you be starting. But I watch the replays. The replays. And I know that came from you from the social media side, but I know that it has helped your ministry as well, because people that didn't know about you are finding out about you.
Oh, man, that is so true. You know, because of this COVID-19, it has even a playing field for many leaders and for people to literally see more than one view and one perspective. And that's why I tell people all the time, in spite of this COVID-19, for us, it has been a harvest time for us. We have had partners to join and connect with us through the COVID-19. And I think it is mostly due to our social media presence, our consistency there, and our willingness from the start of COVID-19 to not be quiet. Like, we were in the game. The first Sunday where we could not gather, we had a live worship experience, and we were doing something during the week, you know, as we do now. So we have been actively using the platform to advance the kingdom and represent him, and not just sitting in the corner being quiet and then come after the fact. So I think it's just life. We have to be able to, like, take the good and the bad and the blows, but be able to, like, pivot and bob and weave, as a boxer would say, but make sure you're putting your footprint in every space that people know that you're here.
Yes, yes. So I told y'all I bring you the inspiring people, and he's an amazing man. And y'all know what we do at the end. We ask some comical questions so we see.
Oh, God.
We get them. We just throw them off guard. And y'all know I keep an arsenal. I keep an arsenal of things. So these are just basic, simple questions.
Okay.
So what excites you right now?
What excites me right now is the fact that there are two things that excite me. Number one, I'm excited about the fact where we are about to move into our own building, my own space for Vision LA, that we can do whatever we want to. We can create in there. We can run our videos whenever we want to and record whenever we want to. Thank God for your own space. Somebody say ownership. Thank God for ownership.
Yes.
That is one of the things that excited me. And the second thing, I know this is going to sound crazy, it's very simple. The second thing is, I got my shipment the other day of my clothes from. I got a shipment. So my clothes are here, because I literally came here with just one suitcase, and I was going to the mall buying something to wear. And then when COVID hit, you know, the mall closed. So I literally thank God for videos. All I had to do is kind of dress top up, but I was almost wearing like the same thing. People are like, oh my God, I'm so tired of that hoodie. How many more times I'm going to see it? But they didn't know. That's all I had was that hoodie and another hoodie. So I had to switch some things back and forth. So thank God for a shipment.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. See, we learned something new. What's the funniest thing people should know about you?
The funniest thing people should know about me, the fact I'm very clumsy, and some people will say I'm a blondie. I tell you, I don't notice most stuff. I remember I was in line at a restaurant, this lady, and I was taking my time because it's a new restaurant and I'm a vegan. So I was asking questions because I wanted to make sure, you know, what you put in the food, how you prepare, because I don't want to get sick. And so there was a lady behind me. Oh, she was cutting the food. Oh, you need to hurry up. You should have already knew what you was going to order before you got here. I mean, she was just going in. But in my mind, I thought she was talking to somebody else. I didn't even know she was talking to me. So my friends were like, looking at me like crazy. But, you know, I'm still like, and so what do you think about this? And the lady is just going in. So I could be, I could totally ignore people, and they could be going in, and I could just be in my own world. I stay in my world. I literally stay
there. Wow. Okay. That would have been bad for her if it had been me. It'd have been a whole nother situation.
It'd been a whole nother idea, right?
That's it. Like, wait a minute. When I turned around, the look she would have got would have said, okay, I'm about to knock you into the wall so you would be
right. Right. Like, say what now?
You got the wrong one, the right one today.
I'd be in the zone. I don't even know who you talking to. You can cut the fool. I don't even know.
Lord. So this one was hilarious. I asked this to Kenyon and last week on the show, and he said the song, and I was like, oh, I never heard it. And then when I went and listened to it, I was like, oh, I see why. So what is the absolute worst song in the world to you right now?
I'm probably gonna get killed about it. I don't think it's the worst song. Let me see. The worst song, and then no matter what, I go to a gospel genre. I'll make it easy. I think one of the worst songs is this song, like, I'm chasing after you. I am trying to figure out why are we chasing after God when God lives right here.
Oh, my God.
I'm tired of us chasing. We chase our dreams. We chase our vision. We even chase God. When he said, great is he that is in you that he is in the world. You call him, he'll show up right there. Why are we chasing God outside of us? He's in us.
That's the pastor in you. That's the pastor in you. Teach the word. Teach the word. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I do. I just want us to stop chasing and take dominion, take authority. He gave it to us from the beginning. So take it. Take it. Take what you want and go get it.
Okay. Last question. Last question. What food would you absolutely not eat under any circumstances?
No meat. No meat of any kind.
That's but we know you're vegan. That's too easy. That's too easy.
Okay, so no food I would eat under any circumstance.
That is
squash.
Squash.
No. I've always never liked squash from a kid. It's just something I just don't do. It's only one person in the world that can prepare it in a way they camouflage it that I can eat squash. But they mix it with cabbage and they mix it with something else. Her name is Eleanor Y. Porter out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'm one of my old pastors. She can stir fry squash in a way that I don't even sense that it's there. I eat that. But other than that, you give me squash and tell me, nope.
Oh, and I don't want it. Squash. Oh,
I don't want it.
Yeah.
No.
God, I love
and squash and seaweed. Like, I cannot get that taste. I know people like the wrap seaweed in it, but I can't. That fishy taste is just at all.
So, no sushi?
No sushi. Only sushi that I would eat is in Atlanta. They have this place called the Raw Sushi Bar, and they do a vegan sushi. But this vegan sushi is wrapped in a vegan type of paste that is not a seaweed. I can eat that, but that's not real sushi. So this is I can eat a sushi alternative, but real sushi, no. No, I won't eat that. I won't eat that on the inner circle. No.
Somebody bring me some sushi now because my sushi place is not open right now. They're not open.
I know.
Tough time.
I know. Everything should be coming. Some stuff should be opening, hopefully, as it looks right now, Friday. But it still be curbside service for California. But we may be getting some stuff to open for curbside service.
If the winery not open, then I'm not happy.
Oh, well, that man. I think we got to go a little bit longer for that fact. Because, according to them, we in phase one already. So we phase three before governor, that happens.
I tweeted our governor and said, look, what stage is the wineries open back up in? Because I'm having issues. Because, see, fortunately for me, I'm a school bus driver. So we're not going back to work no time soon because school is out for the rest of the year. So I want to be able to experience this extra time in the winery by myself because there's not going to be no tourists. So let me go drink my life away.
Drink your life away. I think in phase three is the phase where it looks like a lot of stuff is going to open. Which phase three for us may be June something or July.
I'm going to die. I'm gonna die. Oh my God. So what's your guilty?
You're gonna live.
Okay. Then what's your guilty pleasure that you're doing in LA now? What is the other thing that, what do you like about LA?
Oh, I love the sun. I love the weather. I love the people. I love their freedom. I love the fact that you can be 80 years old here in LA and be getting it, strutting it down the street like you're 20 or 30. Like, I love, like, people don't care what, people talk to me. People that are moving forward here, they talk less about what somebody think of them and talk more about their dreams and aspirations. Like, I love it. Like, I lived in a part of LA and I couldn't live there very long because every morning I would get up and I get on a bus, come straight to downtown because I had to get around a more progressive mind of thinking in that sense, like energy and stuff. And it's just certain energies in LA that is just so miraculous and amazing. And it gives me life and gives you vitality. I love all of that about LA. I love it.
We done turned you into a LA boy already, Lord.
I'm here. Like, I am down. I love it. I hate that the COVID-19 is here because it kind of shifted the whole summer thing. But, you know, we're going to have a good summer because summers last a little longer here than it did in the South. And plus, it's not as cold here. I don't like being cold. It stays warmer here. Even your winters are not cold. So I love, it's a lot about this place I love. Like, I always saw myself here and I wasn't sure how, but I knew this is where I wanted to be. I always spoke it years ago.
Well, we're gonna have so much fun because the Hollywood Bowl, that's one of my favorites. The concert series, I hate that it's canceled this year. But I'm at the Hollywood Bowl. So I will be saying, Sammy, I got you a ticket. I will be in town. Join us at the Hollywood Bowl. One of the most amazing concerts for me was seeing Donna Summer at the Hollywood Bowl. 18,000 folks. That was like just the ultimate party. I was just like, yes, amazing. I am a music
festival. That should have been historical.
Music festival connoisseur. During the summer, I'm at every festival known to man. And so I'm always at, I take tour groups. I take a bunch of people. Let's say, y'all, let's go hang out. Wow. Picnic baskets, get your chairs. Let's go do this. This is what we do. And we do it well in California.
I love it. Like, I went to, before this whole COVID-19, which was last year, I went to a festival that was in Baldwin Hills area. It was so much fun. They had about 3 different stages. I think it was a Taste of Soul.
I come to
it
that.
It was so much fun. I had a good time. It was like Black people everywhere. And it was several musical artists that performed. It was my first time actually getting to hear PJ Morton in person, which I thought was so amazing. Yeah. So I love things like that. I love the outdoors because I love to walk. I love to walk. Walking allows me to think, meditate, work through anything in my mind. So I love outside. I love it.
Well, you're a nonprofit. So in your nonprofit, you're going to have to reach out to some sponsors. And you need to do some musical stuff at your church, too, now that you're going to have your building. Bring in some amazing artists. Get some sponsorship. You know, it's an amazing thing.
Trust me, we will. I'll bring the wine. Okay.
There's nothing wrong with drinking wine, people. There's nothing wrong with it.
That part. What I tell you, we are literally going to do some creative. That's why I can't wait. Because the creative ideas that are already being collected and we're working on now, I just can't wait to do it and to have the freedom in our space to do whatever we want to do. I can't wait. Not only in the space, but also some of the things that we want to do outside of the space and the different agencies that we want to work with. And the fact that, you know, we had started doing third Sunday, our second Sunday worship, our third Sunday second service worship in West Hollywood. Oh. So we would have a service every third Sunday in West Hollywood, which was so amazing. For the last two times that we did it there, we had a really nice crowd, but it was a different audience of people. But it was nice. Like, we had a lot of fun, and we was getting ready to do something in Long Beach area. So just know that moving forward, we are definitely going to regenerate all of that. Long Beach, West Hollywood, we'll always have something creative going on, and not only just worship service, just some creative ways to impact and engage people.
And for those of you in Los Angeles, Larry, you will see me in the building.
Yeah.
Be there supporting him.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I look forward to you. Because y'all know I have to go have my chitterlings from M&M's.
Yeah.
And y'all know I need little Roscoe's in my life. Y'all know. You know I got to go to Roscoe's.
So you like Roscoe's. Okay, now. Okay.
And I love Maggiano's. I love the Grove. The Grove is my...
I love Maggiano.
That's my...
I love the Grove. I love the Grove. That was one of my first loves of L.A. was the Grove. And to go to that particular Zara, I love the Grove.
Yes, the best bartender alive. He makes my wonderful apple martini. Yes, and he makes amazing Long Islands. He treats me so well.
Well, that life will come back soon.
Oh, I'm praying.
I'm hoping that we're making strides towards the freedom to go out and just have a good time.
So, I thank you, sir. You are just
freaking
amazing. Just amazing. Wealth of knowledge. Just inspiration. You just have so much to bring to the community of Los Angeles. And when we open back up, they are going to get to see your full potential come to pass. And that's an amazing thing.
I'm excited about it. And thank you. Thank you for thinking of me, and thank you for providing this opportunity to share with you and for those who are listening. Like, I'm excited about that. This helps us get the message out there that we care for you and we don't want you to do life alone. So I appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
No life alone. And you guys know what to do. I say it all the time. Share the podcast. All of his information will be in the notes. You guys know you can start at sammyhaines.com. You can just start there. That's going to get you
Absolutely.
In. You get to follow his blog. You get to do all that. There's the link for the Vision LA. There's all of that right there. And I'm coming around to it. So I have to tell y'all that I just paid the lady today. Oh, my website will come up soon. Y'all keep asking.
I know, we just went through that.
Oh, I'm just, me and websites, I'm just like, find me wherever else. But ChristopherTerrenceJones.com will be up, and it will include the wine tours, the event planning, the white parties. Y'all know I'm notorious for the white parties. They will be back whenever we can get back to that point in life. The private wine tastings at your house, so I still do those. We'll be back, so... Thank you to this amazing man, y'all. Once again, share the podcast.
Thank you.
Stay your little happy tails in the house. Stay safe.
Please.
Wash your hands. Social distance. I don't care how cute he is. Social distance. Stay away. Stay safe. And always, you know where to be every Wednesday at the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. Can we talk? That's how that works. See you next week. Bye.